Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albertson.
And today, it's our bonus episode that we're doing for our very psychotic Dual Spires episode, because this episode, it just deserves a lot of love. So we're so excited to have Dana Ashbrook with us today. We have such a good time, and we cannot wait for you to listen. So please enjoy this episode of The Psychologists Are In. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Maggie.
Dana, Tim just went to New York and was the belle of the ball at the Percy Jackson premiere.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you, Mr. Hollywood, fucking back and forth.
Gosh, hey, darn it.
And back and forth.
And at the Met.
Oh, what? It's
pretty insane.
That is so cool, man. That is the coolest thing. That's the coolest thing. I need to, get a job so I can do something like that sometime.
Hey, same.
I'm going to hang out with Tim.
Yeah, let's all just go to Tim's and be his plus one.
Yeah. Hey.
I would like that much.
Hi, Dana.
Hi, Max.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course. This is the psych podcast, and this is what you guys are doing. And are you going episode by episode by episode?
We go episode by episode by episode. Sometimes when it's a very special episode like this one, we spend a couple episodes on the episode. So we had Matt Shackman last week, which is so funny because we did the synopsis of the episode with him, and we wanted to talk with you a little bit more about he reminded us that you were so instrumental in bringing a lot of the cast, Twin Peaks original cast, to Dual Spires. And then also, I don't know, we just wanted to hang out with you mostly.
I'm so lucky. I didn't know I had that much to do about it, honestly, as far as getting the cast there. I had no idea.
Well, I mean, Dan, it's also just your essence as a human being that we wanted to hang out with you.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Let's hang. Let's do it. Let's get comfortable. I mean,
I need to get something out of the way first.
We have a couple things we need to cover.
Oh,
because it's business good to do that. Maggie, you look fantastic.
Hey, thanks, Tim. You do too. As always, you look especially.
I haven't seen you in years. I hear you've just moved back to. Can I reveal that you're now living in Los Angeles?
Of course, yeah. Just September 1st, we moved back, and it's great. I think it's maybe rained one day, and everybody's freezing out there in New York. It's so great. I can't even tell you. Living upstate and just dealing with the snow every year over and over and over and everything, it just got to be too much, really. I'm from San Diego, so it's like, bruh, can't handle the snow,
No, you are. You're a SoCal guy.
I mean, I love the snow. I love it. But I'm never going to spend another winter in New York. I mean, I'll go Christmas. I'll go New Year's. I'll hang out. It'll be fun. But February? And March and the late days of January.
Not so much.
That's like when we know we're getting older.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have friends who have kids, especially who talk about just how tough it is just because of, strollers and stairwells and subways and cold. And I miss it. Like I miss New York. I really miss New York. This time of year, Tim was like, I was sort of living vicariously through Tim and Allison's pictures. It's special. Yeah.
The best time of year though right now. I mean, this is when it is. It's between Thanksgiving and New Year's is what it's all about.
Having never been there around the Christmas time, it was just so effing gorgeous.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
And I love all the stuff they put out on the streets and, everyone makes an effort. It's great. It's great. That's all wonderful.
But Tim, do you want to ask Dana maybe the most important question of the podcast?
Dana, our old pal, are you ready to help my dear friend, Margaret Cassidy Lawson, and I podcast the shit out of the special bonus episode of The Psychologist Are In, a PsychoWatch podcast?
Yes, I am ready
That's my favorite answer because he really thought about it. Most people, I think, feel so put on the spot and they're just like, they're like, of course, yes, I can't wait. Oh, best episode ever. And you were like, huh, I think so. Yeah. But also,
I don't really think I understand really what's going on. So it's
here's what's going to go on. We're going to make this. Hand. Okay. Also, are you negative yet? Or are you still COVID-y?
I'm still positive. I'm missing everything. I'm missing everything. I can't go out and have a hot chocolate amongst the people. So it's very close to being negative. It's like getting more and more faint. I feel good. It was a little bit of a, you know, it was a couple of tough days at the start and that was it.
Good.
So I'm just testing. But I'm missing things. Like I was supposed to go to a coffee with Machen and David and I saw David for coffee a couple of weeks ago. And
David Lynch, you mean?
David Lynch. David. I do, yeah. Yes. Because you were asking about that, I think.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to have coffee with them, but Machen actually got ill as well. She had a little cold too. So we're going to reschedule for the new year when everybody can get a breath. And a lot of people are sick right now. Jenny at work, she works, you know, and everyone at the office is sick with something. You know,
man.
Like that's either the flu or a cold or COVID or
it's that time of year.
Yeah, exactly. Year.
I think
mask it up.
I was putting on a mask through the airport, and Nelson's like, "What are you doing? We're just at a party with 600 people."
I did that play in Connecticut all summer. Nobody was masked. No one. Audiences close to us. Everybody. No one was masked. No one was masked. Right. I wasn't even concerned.
Dana was so good. Dana was so good in this play. I hope that it goes somewhere. I hope that it has a life somewhere else because I feel like it's a great play.
This is Master Puppets, right?
But Master Puppets, yes.
Yeah, Master Puppets.
Yeah, that Red Dog Squadron. Did Red Dog put it on? Yes, it was.
Red Dog is no more.
It was just James and
the Legacy Theater did a collab together. Todd was involved.
That was probably my favorite adventure of 2023, actually.
It was a pleasure to see you there. I tell you, you show up, Max. It was great. We were in a small town in Connecticut in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden Maggie's there.
Like, of course, Max. I'm going to be there.
But you were of there course. For the closing and the party and everything. You were like, it was awesome.
It was until I had had to catch a flight. And then the Uber. Oh my God. I love that we're just telling stories. We should talk about dual spires, but
Kurt Fuller was involved and he's a psych guy, right? I mean,
oh, Kurt. Yeah. He's been on the podcast.
He had so many psych fans.
So much so psych family stuff. Was involved with that. I really wish I'd gotten to see it.
Mm. Oh man. They came out. All of them came out for Kurt. I mean, there was people probably every night from psych in some way, shape or form.
Well, I think we've established who on this podcast is a better friend. Obviously it's Maggie Lawson.
No, but I, you know me, I'm always up. It's like, oh, an adventure? Oh, to go see my friends in a play? I mean, sign me up. And come on. I love that. And New York, like on top of it, it was so special. So Dana, first off, the episode, I don't know if you rewatched it or not, you didn't have to, but it's even watching it this many years later, it is such a good episode. It is so psychonic, yeah.
That's our word. The one you're looking for? Not to put words in your mouth.
Right? Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, psychonic. But having Matt on, who, you know, was a huge Twin Peaks fan, talking about it, he actually credited you. Like, he kept saying, like, you were instrumental in calling other cast members and checking in with people. I think Majdan couldn't do it because of a conflict on, another show. But, like, I don't know. Do you remember any of this?
Cheryl, I know that Cheryl Lee, I think, and I talked for sure. I just made sure because, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we were going to get some of the, you know, the some of that core group. You know what I mean? Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it was easy. It was easy. Everyone wanted to do it. It's the psych is such a fun show. It's like didn't everyone do it at some point? Everyone went through it. I know that everybody came through.
Very wise.
The cast you guys had of just Twin Peaks people, I mean, alone. Ray did how many episodes? I mean,
yeah. And the movie. He did one of the movies.
Right. Wait,
did you do another one after?
I did Sunny. I did the remake one where they
did the remake. That's right.
Right.
Or we made an early episode.
And James just basically was trying to get me to Vancouver for that episode. I don't even, I had nothing to do, but he just brought me there because he knows I love you guys and I wanted to come on.
It was so fun. We always loved, we love you so much. I'm so glad you're in LA. I'm sorry I didn't make it I think I forgot, or maybe I was sick for Bachelor in Paradise finale, which Dana is also a fan.
Okay, no spoilers, because Allison and I have not finished the last 20 minutes.
Gotcha. Tim is new to the TV that you and I like to watch, Dana.
Which is called Sex Island.
Called Bachelor in Paradise.
All of it. I mean, you can run the gamut. There's a gamut of shows. But yeah. the best show lately was the one I was telling you about on Max, which is...
I haven't seen it yet.
Naked Attraction, which is where they start naked and they pick the naked person, and then they get dressed and go on a date.
What? It's called what? Yeah.
It's called Naked Attraction. It's British. So you're seeing a lot of, we've seen a lot of naked people, and they're very analytical about it. So you're like looking at the, and they are very, do you mind that kind of, whatever? I don't want to get into, because I don't know what your age demo is on this show, but it's really funny. We call it the Gen Show because it's all the genitals. You see a lot of genitals.
A lot of
British genitals, so it's a lot of genital. And it's very analytical. The host and the contestant will
Are they serious about it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, they get the absurdity of it, but they also are like, wow, when's the last time you had six penises right there for you to choose from? And it's like, never. Usually they say never, thankfully.
As a gift, deodorant historically ranks somewhere between novelty underwear and coal. Sure. Until Lumi, that is. Lumi is on the top of most wished for lists on Amazon for personal care products. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on your pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. And they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. So really, giving Lumi isn't just giving a deodorant. It's giving a product that'll blow whatever they're using out of the water. For confidence, they'll feel from head to toe, or pits to toe, really. Special offer. Okay, new customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code PINEAPPLE5 at LumiDeodorant.com. Lumi, LumiDeodorant.com. I love this product. I love it because it's not really, or at least the one I use is not really scented, because I'm really sensitive to that. And it doesn't really change once you put it on your body either. And anyway, and it works. It works for a long time. Lumi is a whole body deodorant created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. How? Unlike some deodorants that just try to mask the odor with fragrance, this is what I'm talking about, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's like a pre-deodorant. It's like a pre-odorant. I like that word. Baking soda free and paraben free and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. With Lumi, the average odor level is 0 out of 10. Did you hear that? Lumi starter pack is perfect for new customers. Also makes a great gift. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code PINEAPPLE5 at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code PINEAPPLE5. The holidays are here, which is perfect timing for today's sponsor, OneSkin. We all know that with all the holiday fun and festivities comes stress and harsh weather, and can really take a toll on your skin. But thanks to OneSkin's disruptive approach that targets skin aging at the source, you can finish off 2023 with your skin at its healthiest. What makes OneSkin the best? Their products are powered by a groundbreaking peptide, OS1, which is the first ingredient scientifically proven to prevent the accumulation of aged senescent cells, the primary culprit behind skin aging. The real magic, OS1, has actually been proven in the lab to actually reduce the biological age of skin by several years, meaning it not only prevents, but slows down skin aging, leaving you with healthier and more hydrated and glowing skin. OneSkin just launched their mini bundles, which include face and eye topical supplement. I love both of these. Body lotion and cleanser, which all come in this cute little travel bag. If you're traveling this winter, and almost everybody is, OneSkin has your mini skincare essentials covered. And if you're gifting this holiday season, OneSkin's mini bundles are the perfect stocking stuffers. For a limited time, our listeners can enjoy an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code PINEAPPLE when you check out at oneskin.co. This holiday season, give yourself and your loved ones a head start on New Year's resolutions to swap your skincare for skin longevity. I've been using this for a little while now. I love it so much. I think my skin, I've been getting complimented on my skin, and that's the only thing I've changed. So I definitely think that it works. My skin feels tighter and super hydrated. So I'm a huge fan. Treating the symptoms rather than the root causes of aging has long been the norm. Most skincare available on the market is designed to provide a temporary reduction in visible signs of aging, addressing just the surface symptoms of an underlying decline in skin health. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. OneSkin addresses skin health at the molecular level, targeting the root causes of aging so skin feels and appears younger. It's time to get started with your new face, eye, and body routine at a discounted rate today. New customers get 15% off with code PINEAPPLE at oneskin.co. This is such a good deal. 15% off oneskin.co with code PINEAPPLE. The new year is approaching. Now is the best time to invest in your skin. Age healthy with OneSkin.
I love that you're doing this with us today, with even being like a little under the weather, and we're going to make it really painless. That sounds yummy. What are you pouring right now?
That's a Diet Coca-Cola.
Yeah. I love a Diet Coke. Midday Diet Coke. Okay. So we brought some of the cast back to do, Twin Peaks. And I mean, for you, like, I don't know, do you remember anything? Was there anything that was like,
do you remember anything about the show?
As far as, well, you know, like, it's so funny because I feel like very few shows get to have now more and more shows are, because there are so many reboots and reunions. I feel like Psych, we're lucky because we constantly get to have, we get to see each other, we get to come back together, but it still is so special when it gets to happen, even though we see each other all the time and talk all the time, to get on right. set and be able to play these characters again is like, it's a dream come true for us. And right. I don't know. I was thinking about you and I was like, I don't know if, I mean, did we just take all of your time, or did you all get to actually hang out as a cast? Because if you're in Vancouver, we're going to be like, Dana, like we're going out. We're taking your time.
Yeah. It was like dinners and stuff like that. I remember for sure, but it was, it was great to see everybody. I mean, I see some of the people now more than right. I did then. So it was like a good reconnection. For all of us.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've always stayed in touch with like Sherilee and, you know, Sherilyn, there's like, and James was, who wasn't in the episode, but, right. It was really interesting to like connect with Lenny, who I didn't really know that well. Lenny Von Dolan, who our characters never even crossed paths on the
original. May he rest in peace.
Twin Peaks. Yeah, may he rest in peace. And also crazily enough, Jenny, my partner,
life partner,
her aunt, is an actress named Toni Kalem. And Lenny was one of Tony's best friends. So when Jenny was a little girl, she was babysat by Lenny Von Dolan, which is hilarious because Lenny. And also like her other friends were like Dan Hedaya and like Bruno Kirby.
Yeah.
Those were like Tony's friends. And so they babysat Jenny when she was little.
Oh my God, what a small world. That's so crazy.
Lenny. So anyway, I didn't know that at the time clearly, but Lenny and I had a great time, just getting to know each other really. And, Robin Lively, I hadn't seen her since the show, really.
And you guys,
we had a second because we were both, she was dating a friend of mine. So we hung out like in the night, like 1991 for like a year, saw her at like dinners and stuff like that. But then I never saw her. It was before cell phones and like texting and stuff, sort of. So it was like, it's so much easier now to just keep in touch because you have everybody at your fingertips.
Right.
Instead of like a address book and all that stuff.
And a landline and
and answering machine.
Answering machines, faxes, pages.
I know Tim remembers. Do you remember the little remote you had to carry for your answer machine when you would hold it up to the phone and it would go bling, bling. It was like a series of beeps that you would do to access your answering machine.
Okay, I feel amazing right now because I think that was even before me.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember Thomas Brothers? Is that before you?
Oh, my God.
Thomas Brothers map?
Yeah.
God.
So, okay, explain for the kids what you're talking about.
This is like
in L.A.
It was like your school supplies for L.A. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, there was like a booklet that was full of maps. It was pages and pages and pages of maps that was on a ring binder, one of those ring spirals.
A spiral thing.
So you could flip the page and you would look up the street you're going to in the index. Like if you had an audition on Madison Street in Culver City or something, you'd like look up that and then correspond it with the number that you were going to on the street, like the address.
Yeah.
And it was like Battleship. You like zoned in on the quadrant and then you like could find out where you were going. But that was it. That was what you got around.
You saw this thing called GPS. There was the Thomas guide.
Yes. Yeah. And you would have to pull over. Like when I moved to Los Angeles, it was, you had to have a pager because your agent would page you about an audition. And then you'd have to go to a payphone, call the agent, find out what the audition was. Then you'd have to go to Staples because that's where they were going to fax the audition if you didn't have a fax machine or a copier. But when you first move to a new city, you don't have those things. So then you're going to like Office Depot or Staples or FedEx or someplace because you have to like wait for your fax to come in with your audition sides, which are the scenes. And then you get the address for where the audition is. And when you go, you get lost and have to pull over on the side of the road, open up your trunk, get out the Thomas guide and go through exactly where you are going because the Thomas guide was it, right? I feel like that's what every person knew when they moved to Los Angeles.
So you get your SAG card and they hand you a Thomas guide.
100%.
Look, invaluable.
Oh my God. I haven't thought about the Thomas guide in so long. Oh man,
it was crucial. Yeah. But I remember, when I started, there was no faxing of auditions. We had to go, if I had a two-page scene, it was like when you're just starting out, you're getting a day player part.
Yeah.
If I had a two-page scene, I had to go to like Sony or MGM in those days, whatever, Lorimar, whatever it was. And I lived in Hollywood. I would have to go and pick them up the day before.
Right.
Or 2 days before. Right. And then go back. And sometimes they'd only let you read the script if there was a movie in the office. You'd have to go and sit there.
I remember that sometimes. Yeah.
Kids today with the email
they had a really big fancy agent. They would deliver the script or they deliver it to you.
Yeah.
I
met Todd Harthan when he was delivering scripts for like Crossing Jordan or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I was just some poor actor, but I was staying at my friend Jonathan Silverman's house and he has a nice, beautiful house. I was like some sort of baller.
I love that. Yeah. I remember I would have to drive to my agent's house in Encino and pick up scripts or drop off
stuff. Yeah. Like,
so different.
Ask them to print it up for me at the office and then like have them or go to the office. There's all sorts of like ways to skirt the having to drive to the West Side.
Yeah. so funny.
These kids today with their so lucky, these young actors with like, hang on, like I'm just going to read my sides on my phone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is nice. I miss the like, the full time kind of feeling. So right now, now with like self tapes and things, it's like, you get your sides and you have your room or you're like set up and you work on your thing and you do your self tape. Hopefully somebody will read with you. And it's sort of like you send it off into the ether. You don't know if anybody actually sees it. So I miss the like that feeling of like just the ritual of it, like getting the sides, learning the thing, getting ready, picking out outfits, having outfits in the car to like change.
In the car, changing on the way to the next audition. I know, it was like a full-time job. And
yeah, but you always knew someone watched your audition because you walked into a room and someone watched your audition. So there's like this like thing of like, and you have the energy of the people. And I'm not knocking, I understand. It's like, you know, the way things are now, but it's like, it's just a whole different, I feel we're like the old timers.
We are. I mean, I don't remember.
It's in your kid.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we are. They don't know. The kids, they don't know.
These kids today.
They don't know. Hey, yeah. Well, let me tell you. You know, Jenny, my partner, she used to work at Pitchfork Magazine, which is a music magazine, right?
Yeah.
There were kids there that didn't know who Tom Petty was.
This is
a music magazine. I mean, yeah, I get it. They're covering new bands and stuff, but Tom Petty.
No, you can't know. It's just like us studying, and I'm sure these kids are talented. I'm not taking away from them, but it's just like us. Like you go back, you watch the greats, you learn from them, you know their work, you like, there is something to that. And today's music, I know so much of it is like done electronically and stuff as well. It has been for a long time, but I feel like it's almost like your homework to kind of know, just if you're working for a music magazine or your area of expertise is music, you should know the greats of music and all the genres. And I'm sorry, I'm upset by this.
it was bummed me out, man.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah. Okay. So back to Psych. Okay, so we had fan questions that we like threw out to the psychos for you.
Okay.
Are you down to answer? Again, I see.
Of course. Okay. Let me just also say that when I go to conventions and stuff like that for, you know, whatever, the psycho fans will come up and they love the Dual Spires episode. And I have a picture that they can sign from the show. And they love Psych. They love it. I mean, it's like a love that I've rarely seen for a television show. It's so nice.
It's really special that we are so lucky. They're like the greatest fans. They follow people everywhere. And
but that's because of you guys too, though. All of you guys. I mean, Delay, James, and you know, Kristen, all of you guys.
Really just Maggie and I.
Well, I mean, it is that. It really is. Still you and Mags.
No, we're lucky. We're lucky, and we're lucky that we have the most. They're also like the best fans. Like they're not like they're respectful. They're like loving. They follow all of our stuff. They support it. Like they're just like they're the greatest, and we feel so lucky. We are doing this podcast because of them, and we still get to make Psych because of them, and we get to do a lot of live shows like we are next year, Tim, and going to conventions because of them. So we're
correct me if my math is wrong. I did a little calculation on the plane yesterday coming home from New York City. Mm-hmm. We have 7 live shows booked for 2024, right? The Psych Pod Tour 24 is right now at 7 live shows. And I really think I'm really pretty
certain
hopeful we're going to do at least 2 more.
At least 2 more. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know, we're like traveling. We haven't announced, we can't announce some of them yet. I think we can soon though, Tim, like as contracts get signed, but like we are I think March we're in 3 different cities and then another month we're like in a city a month next year.
Wow. You guys are like a rock band.
We're like going on a tour.
A taggy appearance at a certain con, which we cannot discuss yet.
Correct. Which is, yes. I need to get back to you on that, Tim. I was aware of this. Okay. Conventions are a big deal and we love
it. And it's all thanks to our Psychos. Beautiful, handsome, glorious fans.
Yeah. We're so lucky. Okay.
Talk about our show that we love so much.
And Dana.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you some questions now.
Okay. You know what's neat? You know what's neat about Matt Shackman?
Everything. But yes.
I know.
He's the best.
But he did like the last couple episodes of Game of Thrones. He like directed like a couple of the like giant.
The battle.
Yeah.
Like that giant.
The awesome battle. Yeah.
I meant to look it up.
He what? He's,
Cleaning the Pastures, that epic season finale.
He's doing, you know, he's doing the Fantastic Four.
Oh, wow.
He's doing the whole Fantastic Four. He's starting that franchise now. Wow. So, yeah, no, Matt Shackman
couldn't happen to a sweeter fella.
Like, say, so in addition to being a hugely wonderful human being.
The nicest. Okay, back to Dana. Matt got his fan questions. It's time for Dana's.
Okay.
Oh, I wonder if you're going to remember some of these. Okay, what was your favorite reference to Twin Peaks in Dual Spires?
Well, the most fun I had probably doing one of the, you know, one of the things was when I was pretending at the end with the picture and I was going in a circle like Ray, I was acting like Ray did in the pilot and, yep. and or whenever Ray did that. And so I had to apologize to Ray before I was taking a bite out of him, but it was fun. I liked doing that. And I also had enjoyed a part that was cut, which was I did a little Kimmy Robertson, who played Lucy, the quirky, high-pitched voiced secretary at the police station on the show. And she had this thing with the phones where she was like, it's not the white phone, it's the black phone. Yeah. Not the black phone, but the thing. But she like did this thing where she talked about which phone it was for way too much time. And so I like kind of like just did my own little improv about the phone when it rang in one scene.
Yeah.
And I think I was the only one that got it. Really? Probably? Because no one was like, hey, let's keep that in there.
No, I think they did keep that in there.
I was like, I just kept doing it. I kept going. And then not the white phone on the wall, not the phone on the wall, because you can just go. You just keep going.
Yeah.
You know? And but it didn't make it in. But that was probably my favorite part too.
That's good. I like that's good. That's good inside scoop. Number two, I mean, this is I think we know the answer to this, but like, were you involved in the planning of the episode? Yes. These were asked probably before they heard yesterday's episode with Matt, but
Oh, well, I mean, I just was in, as far as like being, you know, I think maybe I was cast early so they could use, you know, they could say, hey, look, Dana's doing it, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Okay. What was it like working with all of the psych cast on and off the set?
And who's your favorite?
And who's your
favorite? Oh, wow. God, my favorite, my absolute favorite, that's got to be... No. Stanley Park. No. I love coming up there. I mean, Tim, we did yoga, I think we did yoga together.
Oh, we did across street from the Sutton. I forgot. I was in my early yoga days.
We all went to yoga that day. That's right.
Ironically, right next to Joey's, so we could then sweat out all the supernovas from the night before.
It was upstairs.
I fell asleep in the class because it was a mellow class. But I loved, it was like seeing everyone, you know, because like Andy, for some reason, maybe Andy was there the second time. I think Andy was there for the second episode I did. But we all like, you know, just party. Everything. Right. It's like friends, you know, it's like all you guys are just, like, I love you guys. You know, it's like probably the most comfortable I've ever been around. Like, on a movie set, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, everyone and everyone's there for the right stuff and everyone wants the best for everyone. And that's kind of the way I remember it up there. But you know, I went up to Vancouver in 1988.
What?
I went up to Vancouver for the first time in 1988 to do when they were just starting to do like TV shows up there.
What was the show?
21 Jump Street.
That's what I was about to say. Was it 21 Jump Street? Because wasn't that the first one to kind of go up and like open the door? Yeah.
Yeah. And I did a very heavy Holly Robinson Pete episode. It was her episode. So I it was her. Like, so, love yeah, her. She was great. And her mom was my manager. Holly Robinson, her mom was the manager, Dolores Robinson. And she was my manager for like 10 years, maybe.
I didn't know
she's
that.
She's awesome. She's amazing. Yeah. Amazing lady.
I love Holly. I love Holly so much. She, we did some Hallmark projects together. Yeah. And then I just saw her at the Beyonce concert.
Ooh, how's she doing? Like, was she with her husband?
Yeah. They're just like the greatest. She's like just a wonderful human and all about good. And I love her.
Yeah. That's how it was even back then. Yeah. It was fun. I remember because she kind of took me under her wing because, you know, her mom was my manager. So I didn't know anything. I didn't know. I was 19, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
I wanna, and she like took me around and drove me around and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Vancouver. God. It was like my first trip there. First trip ever to Canada. I mean,
crazy. And now it's like the place we all know, like so well. I mean, and like,
you guys know it so well.
Where did Twin Peaks film?
In Seattle, outside of Seattle, in Snoqualmie, Snohomish. Tim knows that area.
Really you're well. North Bend, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, North Bend. And then that was the pilot. And then so we stayed in like in what's right across the water from Seattle? What's that little area?
Everett. Is it Everett? No,
we stayed at the Red Lion Inn. I remember that on the pilot. It was
the
like
Red Lion Inn. Oh my God, I know that.
And then we would drive up to go and shoot up in the mountains and then come back. And then the series we shot in LA, you know, on Balboa. Right. That's right. Where our studios were, right down the street from 90210. We were literally like a couple blocks away from where their warehouses were.
Oh, that's so crazy.
We can all agree on one thing. Nobody likes a smelly garbage that attracts fruit flies and ants into the kitchen. Like nobody who, yeah. Now that I've invested in a Lomi, it has changed the way I deal with my food waste. Lomi is the biggest innovation in the modern day kitchen since the dishwasher. In just 4 hours, Lomi transforms almost anything you eat into nutrient-rich plant food at the push of a button. Cut the chore of doing the trash in half, eliminate bugs and odors in your kitchen, and here's the bonus. You get to feed your lawn and garden with an all-natural fertilizer that you just created out of your food scraps. Lomi promises to bring you the best possible experience every time you run a cycle. They're one of the only kitchen appliances that has a full, no questions asked, lifetime warranty on all devices. And they don't stop there. Lomi looks after you from day one and beyond. You'll automatically get upgraded to a new Lomi device every 3 years. How nice is that? I love my new routine with Lomi. No more stinky trash bins or leaky bags make a mess of the house when I take, you know, the bag out to the garbage. I mean, honestly, it's game changing. Plus, you get to put the food into your garden. It's like it gets to grow from your waste. I also love that. Whether you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just grow a beautiful garden, Lomi is perfect for you. Head to lomi.com/pineapple and use the promo code pineapple to get $50 off your Lomi. That is $50 off when you head to Lomi, lomi.com/pineapple and use promo code pineapple at checkout. This is such a good deal. Thank you, Lomi, for sponsoring this episode. The holiday season is around the corner, and with it comes gift giving, lots of great food, and of course, dreaded holiday portraits. Everybody knows this feeling, right? And it never fails. It's like there's that like pimple or that thing, that little breakout, whatever happened. It always happens when it's like you have these like very special events you have to go to and you have to see a lot of people, especially people you haven't seen in a long time. Anyway, while we can't control other aspects of the holidays, we can make sure you feel confident and camera ready for your photos. That's why we're excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin. Whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, or acne scarring, Apostrophe will help you love the skin you're in. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. Simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. How nice is that? Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne, back, chest, and butt acne. Yep. Treat breakouts from head to toe. What I love about the Apostrophe experience is the easy access to an expert dermatology team. Apostrophe provides access to prescription treatments, and they connect you to online virtual derm consultations. We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/pineapple when you use our code pineapple. That is a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/pineapple and click get started. Then use our code pineapple at sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. This podcast is sponsored by Relief Band. When it comes to nausea, you have to get Relief Band. the number one anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. Basically everything and anything that causes nausea. Relief Band is natural, fast acting, and will last as long as you need it. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and has zero side effects. True. I love this thing. My mom has also used this, and she also gave me a testimonial and she said I could share it, which is basically that she recently had to have a procedure done and the anesthesia made her extremely nauseous. And the only thing that helped her was this Relief Band. I had vertigo last year, off and on for like a couple of months, pretty intense. And same thing. It was like the only thing that helped at all was when I put on the Relief Band, it just stopped the nausea. Like it stopped that feeling that just makes you, it's just the worst feeling in the world. Anyway, so I can't say enough about this product. I love it. Relief Band has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and over 100,000 satisfied customers. So they are a brand you can trust. Plus, Relief Band both treats and prevents nausea so you can help avoid nausea from becoming a problem in the first place. And Relief Band makes a great gift for the nausea sufferer in your life. This is an amazing gift. If you know anybody who has or suffers from or is going through, I mean, honestly, that's everybody at some point I feel like goes through this. Like it is such a good gift. You can also use your HSA and FSA dollars to get a Relief Band. So if you have funds left in those accounts, don't let them go to waste. Put that money to good use and get a wearable nausea solution that works. Remember, you don't have to overplan for nausea relief or dose up to 6 hours before a trip. Just bring your Relief Band and you're good to go. Right now, we've got an exclusive offer just for Psychologists Are In listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code PINEAPPLE, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband, R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com and use our promo code PINEAPPLE for 20% off plus free shipping.
Now, did you audition the Propaganda with Joanna Ray in there?
Yes, I do. Because Eric, her son, used to always run her sessions for her. He ended up playing Leo on Twin Peaks. But he, you know, I knew Eric because of Amazing Stories. When she cast Amazing Stories, that's how I knew Joanna before David Lynch, you know, before she was like casting.
Wow.
So the only reason I was even in her pile of pictures was because of Amazing Stories that I never got.
Wow.
That's yeah. Joanna cast me in my SAG card job.
Really?
Joanna did?
Yeah, Joanna Ray, the glorious Joanna Ray. And I think my very first huge feature film.
Oh my God. That's amazing. She's the best, man. She's the best.
I love you.
Michael Horace used to date Joanna back in the day, who played Deputy Hawk
on
Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw him a couple months ago, and he laid that one on me. I didn't ever know that, but he said, "Yeah, man, you know, me and Joanna used to go out."
Amazing.
Yeah, that's
good gossip. Wait, super more gossip.
Cool. Super.
If you remember, casting process like on that show on Twin Peaks?
It was really easy because I didn't know anything, and. They gave us the script. It was called Northwest Passage. And we came in for a meeting with David and Mark, but it wasn't an audition, just a meeting. Mm-hmm. So I went to Joanna's office and Eric was there waiting. And Eric, like, we talked about the script and he was like, "Isn't that funny, man? You know, with the lady with the patch and the silent drape runners and all that stuff." We like hit on a couple points of the script that we thought were really funny. And so when I went into the room, they were like ready to talk. And I was ready to talk about the script. So I just talked about that and we laughed and they laughed and I was like this. And David goes, "You know, Bobby doesn't smile a lot. He doesn't smile. He's not a happy guy." And I was like, "Oh no, I'll never smile." And then that was it. It was just like a meeting. And then I came back another time in Joanna's office with an actress. And we read the Bobby Shelley stuff in the car from the pilot where we're driving away and we see Leo's truck and stuff. And it was just, I remember me and her and David. And I asked David, I was like, should I pretend to be like holding the steering wheel? He's like, yeah, please drive it. So I was like, okay. So I'm driving, you know.
Second oldie, if you're auditioning and you have to have a gun, like doing the finger gun, is driving, is pretending to drive a car in audition, not feeling like a complete a-hole.
I mean, there's plenty of horror stories where I was like, one time flying a plane and the plane's supposed to crash. I think it was in Armageddon, and I went, and like fell out of the chair. Like I crashed.
We never, it's always hard though to know what to do in scenes like that. Like when it says, yeah, a fight scene. What are you doing? Yeah. Your AirPod fell out. But like, what do you do in an audition? Like sometimes when you, or you get the ones that's like, you know, you're running and jumping off of something, or there's just like stuff that where it's like, okay, this is hard. This is just hard to do. It's hard to do in an audition. But I love that you.
You're so good, Dana, that you still got the job miming a steering wheel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I gave it the good. I made sure there was, you know, I gave it the mime. I didn't like squeeze it closed.
That's also my favorite thing too, because like that would be really dangerous. But that's how a lot of times like people drive, and I think scenes or think of it is like most of the time when you're just going straight, you just are holding. You're like holding the steering wheel, but like. This thing is like what I think.
The overacting.
Yeah, the overacting. Yeah. Like, wait, no. You're going into the
process. You're going to act like you're driving.
You're doing a slalom course?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly. I mean, my horror film acting when I was driving, like, I was poor man's processing it. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, just bad driving. Bad driving. I always appreciated when they would mount the camera on the car, you know, not tow you and just have it there and you just drive. You really drive. Mm-hmm. That's what I liked.
I like that too. Okay. Was it fun to recreate some Twin Peaks scenes, but with a comedy twist?
Yes, it was. It was very funny. And it was such a sweet homage to Twin Peaks, you know, and that it made it fun. And, you know, Matt and James both were such huge fans of the show and they knew so much about it. And, you know, it was so fun. It was silly. It was silly good times, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no way you could look at it and not smile.
Yeah. Is it true that how you and James became friends was like, he basically like came up to you and was just like, I'm like a super fan of you.
And anybody that's a super fan, of course I'm going to love. And
you're going to watch a basketball game. Wasn't that the rest of the story?
Yeah. He was doing a TV show and I guest starred on it. I forget what it was called. He'll know. I don't remember what it was called, but, and yeah, he came and knocked at my trailer door, and he was like, hey, you know, I'm a huge Twin Peaks fan. And I was like, oh, wow, great. Maybe the first time I'd ever like had someone on a set come up and been like, I like you as an actor, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he said, do you like basketball? Cause I have a TV in my trailer. So I was like, yeah, I like basketball. So we went and we watched basketball. We had a little basketball date in the trailer.
Oh my God, that's the cutest date ever. I love that.
And he's just the best, you know. And then we just became friends and, you know, and the rest is crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. The rest is crazy.
90s. Like he had just moved to LA. He was still wearing those big giant like,
oh my God.
Moon boots. They were like Kiss. They were like from the Kiss road tour.
Oh my God, those boots. I remember the first time I saw those boots and I was like, okay.
And now he wears seriously slides with socks. Like, I don't know what he's wearing in New York.
We talk
cold, but slides with socks.
And that's always been his thing. So the slides with socks was a thing and it like when it wasn't a thing, but it was like he doesn't care. He doesn't care. It's so for him, it was like, oh, this is just what I'm rolling with because I'm comfortable. But it's like, you know, a major like fashion faux pas that is now what everyone wears. So
and
maybe
he's still become your boyfriend, which just gives a lot of fashion challenged people out there hope.
That's very sweet, Tim. I think now, you know, it's the Crocs and socks look. That's like seems to be the thing everybody's doing.
And the Birkenstocks and socks.
The Birkenstocks versions is so pure Northwest.
Yeah. So maybe James was actually a trendsetter. Maybe he like started the trend, but no, at the time, of course, I judged him a little for the socks and slides, but you know, not enough to be like, all right, this is a deal breaker.
At your birthday, your big birthday party of his socks and slides.
Yeah. The socks and he did, right?
Yeah, I have the picture on my phone, or Allison has it. But we made a point of going, this is so ridiculous. We must take a picture of what your footwear choice is for this amazing, beautiful party.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. I love that it's like, nope, this is how I'm rolling and I'm comfortable and this is what I want to wear tonight. So
you I love that he's comfortable in his clothes, but you know what I love is Tim's fashion sense.
Tim is like,
maybe the best fashion sense of anyone that I personally know, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. sure, like 100%.
You were pretty
incredibly kind. And Maggie, who do I go to virtually every major fashion decision? Who do I get their consultation for?
It's true. It's me. It's true.
Maggie Lawson.
Yes, you're the suit in New York.
It's a team effort.
Was perfect. Mm. I mean, I did the same thing with you, but
Square.
So good. It was really good. One more fan question.
Okay. Hear me.
And I'm really hoping, I think I know the answer and I'm going to hope that I know the answer, cause it's going to be a really good answer. I think any other TV show you'd like to be on? You have a partner, so you won't be on this show.
any other show?
Oh no, yeah. I thought you were going to say Naked Attraction. And that's why I was saying you have a partner, so you'd never be on it. But I felt like
that's hilarious.
A good callback. Yeah.
I wish I operated at that level. You know. No. Any.
I don't know.
Any good pain show I would like to be on.
Pain.
Pain. Paycheck.
Paying. I thought you said pain. Like,
I would pain show. Appreciate a pain show. A pain right. show.
Okay.
But there's so many great shows. God, I'd be lucky to be on any of them. You know, that I watch all, it's gorgeous. These shows are.
We'll pretend you said Naked Attraction.
Naked Attraction. There you just cut into it.
Yeah, great.
And wait for the laughs. And then
it's a British show, right? Is there a lot of so tell us about your bits.
Yeah. Like she'll say, do you mind that they hang down so low like that? Like, do you mind that? And they're like, No, I don't mind it. No, I don't mind
comedy, it. Isn't it.
Oh my god. Then,
like, oh my god. They say things like, wow, she's a bit out there. She's got a little bit. Do you mind it being so out on the outside, or do you like it? Because no, it looks nice and trim there. I don't mind it. Then one of the kickers is when they say to most of the girls are, you know, British. So they ask the girls, they say, if they have an uncircumcised man, which is rare, really rare.
Yeah.
Like, do you mind if he's circumcised like that? And then the girl usually will say, oh, I don't really like it. I prefer uncircumcised.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my yeah. God. Whereas I love
it. We as in the West here in America, we're just like, oh, what is that? Is it a sea creature? Is it a sea cucumber?
Normal. But yes, we in the West, we're the weird ones.
We are. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's more.
I fully accept my weirdness and but it's, you know, there's 6 seasons of that show and I'm about in the middle of the 3rd season. So I haven't even completed it yet. So
I'm starting the show and I cannot.
Where can this be seen? I mean, obviously you're seeing a lot. Where can one watch it? Should they be enough?
Oh, it's on Max. Okay. HBO Max. Yeah.
HBO.
Lost the genitalia.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's anything just else? Really matter of fact.
I love that part.
Makes you feel comfortable.
Does everybody's got this anatomy. Everybody's got this makeup. So like, you know, why not talk about it? Like it's like everybody's got it.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh.
Yeah, that's sort of the experiment is like right. If everybody gets that out of the way first and then they go on a date clothed, you know.
It's actually fascinating.
But the problem is that the people that might go on a show like that are maybe a little freaky. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
They might be a little freaky.
Yeah.
Like, they might be cool with like, hey man, I'm gonna go on the show and show my gens and go play with it. You know?
Everyone.
Show my gens.
And it's always like, you know, when they eliminate one per body right. part sort of showing. And it's always like, his name's Tom. He's 20 years old. He's a bartender from Shropshire. and the other thing about it is they finally get to talk and there's like three of them left. They get to speak. And there's so much dialect bias. In England.
Oh, interesting.
Like, they're like, do you mind a northern accent? She's like, I don't like a northern accent. I can't trust it. Oh, it's just like crazy. And there's so many different dialects.
Absolutely fine.
You'll love it, Tim. You'll love all the different accents. It's like, it's insane. Oh, yeah. It's insane. I can't believe for such a small little island, there's like, just, there's... so many different accents and actual bias against certain ones.
Wow.
This, I guess we have that here too, but.
We do. It's just as much bigger, you know? So it's almost like, it's kind of weird when it's contained in like a sort of a smaller little place like that. You're like, okay, that's quite a difference for just 25 miles. But anyway. This has been a very fun episode of
this is the best one ever.
The Naked Attraction podcast that we're launching. Anything else you want to add before we take any more time on your Friday with hopefully your last day of COVID?
I would just like to say that I am so happy and proud to be part of Psych in any way because you guys. It's such a good vibe and I love you guys and I love the show and it's so funny and so sweet and it's on all the time. So you can just kind of like switch between Seinfeld and a little Psych and, you know, lightens the load a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's such a nice
Tim, I know you were on Seinfeld because I watched that show. I watch God that bless show you. A lot. I watch it.
That's right.
You were like, who are you? Elaine's brother? You were someone's brother.
I was Susan's brother, Little Ricky.
Right.
As Little Ricky. And as we talked last week, bringing it back to the Twin Peaks, Grace Sabrinsky was my mom and Warren Frost was my dad.
Right, right.
Wow.
Right, right. It was such a weird Twin Peaks connect. And you were wearing like khakis and you had like a button-down shirt.
I look at it now, it's like those are all my own clothes. They're just hugely baggy. It was like this really baggy, of course, oceanized blue shirt, like 17 sizes too big, hugely baggy khakis. My earring was prominent.
Same exact look. I could have changed my head and put it on those clothes and it would have been like I had that exact outfit.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, I love it.
For sure.
Wow. Dana, we love you. Thank you so much.
I'm still waiting for touch. I can see you now. I'm not completely texting going, are you still in the Catskills?
I'm here and I'm in LA and I'm all for anything. So I'm
ready. I want to meet Jenny.
Yeah, man. Jenny's the best. She's the best. I can't wait till you guys can hang out. And anytime.
Jenny is the best. I love Jenny. And by the way, I'm totally coming over for Trash TV night.
Great.
It's happening.
Bring Tim.
Yeah. Bring Tim. And Tim. Yeah. We're coming for the party. Dana, feel better. Thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you.
I hope to see you soon. Yeah. And this was so fun, by the way. Such a fun episode. Yeah. You did great. You really
I really don't know what I was talking about. But
No, it was good.
First podcast, so I'm stoked to just be, I broke my cherry. So it's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Great time of COVID. And you really did podcast the shit out of it for us, buddy. So
I know, right? It's really, really good. We appreciate you. We love you.
Thank you so much for listening and talking fun other TV shows that we also really like, but also, you know, reliving the fun that was the Dual Spires episode. Obviously, Dana is one of our nearest and dearest, and we were so lucky to have him today. Thank you, Psychos, as always, for being you. We love you. Please follow us at our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In, our Twitter at Psychologist Pod, and follow us on our Patreon, where you will get ad-free episodes and video episodes. And that is patreon.com/psychologistsarein. Happy holidays, everybody.